your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 15th of April, 2025, and we are on the clock with Erin Green. It's a full day of news today. Open line, I think. I'm going to sort of stick to what I see in today's papers, but I'm not going to hold you to that. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. For Family Island listeners, here's a toll-free number, 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. The text line, as always, powered E. That's 422-GR96, 422-4796. I'm going to start the show with a lot of questions, but first I want to say good morning to the Bahamian woman yesterday who sent out an appeal to the Bahamian people to each give Adrian Fox a dollar to rebuild his assets destroyed by fire yesterday. Good morning, and are you okay? Are you all right? See, because many of us were thinking now would be the perfect time to ask Mr. Fox and other gaming operators to create, if not donate outright, but to create a mechanism, maybe a game, local, whose proceeds would go to a fund to purchase fire trucks for use wherever needed in the archipelago, but also the funds would be held to ensure that maintenance and repairs can occur whenever possible. That's what most of us were thinking. Most of us were thinking, like, now would be the right time to ask them not to just use their money, but to use the infrastructure that they have to create a mechanism to support the country generally. And look, it turns out that if they contribute to generally, they would also be able to benefit in this instance from, they would benefit from a fleet of fire trucks that would have been available to contain this fire as quickly as possible. Here's another question. Where is the Southwest Highway? Where is the Southwest Highway? Did somebody rename the East-West Highway to the Southwest Highway and I didn't know? Where is the South West Highway? And we can get into today's news about the fire. Massive fire rips through new government building. A massive fire ravaged the Department of Labor, Solomon Supercenter, and the new Cartwright building off East West Highway in New Providence yesterday, injuring 3 firefighters. A cloud of black billowing smoke towered over the buildings as emergency workers raced to the scene. At one point, an explosion occurred, injuring at least 1 firefighter. Commissioner of Police Shanton Old said the fire started in the generator room at Solomon Supercenter sometime around 10:44 a.m. She said police arrived at the scene at 10:51 a.m. Quote, all of our units were deployed to this fire. As you can see, they are still working to contain the fire, she said. Quote, at present, 4 units are on scene, along with a team of officers. I'm turning to page 5 from the airport fire service or fire services. Noel said police also contacted the Royal Bahamas Defense Force to assist with firefighting efforts. Though no casualties were reported, Noel said 3 officers were injured. Quote, 2 officers were able to get into the building, into Solomon's, but they had to retreat, and so we're still working to gain access. We do know that the fire, she said, after 2 p.m. Quote, 3 officers received injuries. 2 of them are at the hospital, and we're waiting for the others to be transported to the hospital. Those injuries at this time, I'm told, are minor injuries. Close quote, stick a pin. This is the appropriate time to say thank you to those officers. Thank you for putting your body on the line. I know this is what you trained to do. This is what the job is about. But that doesn't mean we can't say thank you.
And I appreciate that, Aaron.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of professionalism,
mm-hmm.
when I say professionalism, not just doing the quality of job, I talk about knowing the job,
mm-hmm.
being trained to do the job,
mm-hmm.
the professionals at the job, the one who have all the experience and experts with expertise. Is it the fire station firemen or is it the defense force officers? Who gets the extra training?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Royal Bahamas Defense Force, of all Defense Force officers, get basic fire training, or if there's a there must be a Defense Force fire unit.
You believe there's a Defense Force fire unit?
Okay, let me rephrase that. There ought to be a Defense Force fire unit because every force, right, a Defense Force, the police force, should have their own fire unit to be able to contain fires on the bases, like police headquarters or on the base, on the boats. Right, so I imagine
Do you know if the Defense Force has a fire truck?
No, I don't know.
See, the reason why I ask, basic question. This is the second time of in as many days
mm-hmm.
that we have called the Defense Force to respond to a fire,
mm-hmm.
to help, to assist the professionals.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second time in as many days. So I'm now questioning whether we have sufficient Bahamas, because it seemed to be insufficient because we kept always asking for auxiliary staff to come and help.
Mm-hmm.
No, not police aid, not auxiliary fire stations, but the Defense Force
okay.
in general.
So you look at it, the Defense Force and the police force and then the police fire services, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you hit on a great point that Defense Force officers generally may have more training than the average police officer if they're not a part of the fire services, if they never trained to be a part of the fire services. A Defense Force officer may be better suited for firefighting, for attending scene of the fire in terms of maintaining bystanders at a safe distance.
Just maintaining the bystanders then.
Well, what I'm saying is that it's possible that the Defense Force training, the basic training, may better prepare a Defense Force officer to fight a fire than police basic training. But here's the point I want to make. Why don't we have a protocol that, you know, years ago, there used to be a big banner at Central Police Station and headquarters. That banner had listed 4 things on it. The second thing listed on it was that all police officers are traffic officers. I presume that all police officers were trained to fulfill that function if assigned. In the same way, it is 2025, and I cannot believe that in the police force training, the basic training, that all police officers don't go through basic fire services training.
Let's step back.
Yeah.
We know that the fire departments are part of the police force,
mm-hmm.
right? How many fire departments do we have?
I think we only have one, and then they're necessary, eh?
See, and that's a debate. When I was younger, there was a Fox Hill Fire Department.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Wolf Road Fire Department. Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if we have a Wolf Road Police Station
there's
anymore.
There's a Central Fire Department, and of course, there's the Airport Fire Department, and so on.
Yeah.
Now, I believe if there's an overwhelming fire, all of the various fire departments will come together to lend support.
Mm-hmm.
It seems as if we no longer have these individual fire departments.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot call Fox Hill and say, hey, bring your fire truck this way, please.
Let me give you two similar situations.
Let me finish this point. I cannot say that there is a Defense Force fire truck and that when I call a Defense Force to say, hey, I need your assistance, please come this way, that they come with their fire truck, with their expertise, that with their firemen to come and render assistance. I believe they bring staff who then takes and replace the firemen who are on the scene and say, hey, y'all move.
So they'd be like, you take a break. We're going to come in and do a shift, and then we're going to stop and then y'all come in and do a shift.
Then I go back to the question, who has more experience outing fires? Who has on the scene experience, overwhelming hours, time to say, no, we don't out fire like this.
I feel what you're saying. I think that the Defense Force's basic training better prepares a Defense Force officer to attend to that scene than the Royal Bahamas Police Force basic training prepares a police officer to attend to the scene. That's basic training.
Now, let's picture the United States.
Mm-hmm.
At a fire scene, the fire department is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
No other person come and say, no, you can't have as much experience as me because this is what we are trained
and I think that's
to
what,
do.
I think the issues that arise in that space are what is partially what has prompted the police force second officers to...
I'm not sure if that's what's happening.
I think they suggested a 33-man person unit for fire. Fighting. They're going to pull 33 officers and like put them into a squad to train them to be deployed for fire services. But I wanted to give you sort of two examples of where we've seen possibly a similar situation happen within the government services, right, or agencies. The first is BEC, BPL. I live in a pigeon forest, which means the trees grow like they're on steroids all the time. And trees pop up anywhere because birds are constantly dropping seeds, right? And tremendous issues with maintenance, getting people to come out and do maintenance. And the response we got is that not only are there few bucket trucks available to go up and do the maintenance, but that the unit or the division seemed to have an unspoken policy that they were going to, what you call it when you just let it die out? Like they were going to not replace the trucks. Right, and then eventually they reassign. I think they started subcontracting that work out. Another situation is with the garbage trucks, government garbage trucks. I think there was an unspoken policy because I haven't seen any formal policy. But after decades of observation and speaking to the people actually working in the space, it appears the same thing happened where we're not going to say that we're going to end the government garbage or sanitation service, what we're going to do is we're just not going to repair the trucks until somebody gets up and says, what are we doing here? Why do we even have a unit if we don't have any trucks?
I'm just concerned about mandate.
I'm concerned about the idea that we could possibly see a subcontracting of fire services.
Any minute now. See, police force mandate is to police. The defense force is to police the sea. And of course,
and the land too.
No, they have military functions. The police force cannot go and arrest a person without a police officer being present in terms of doing a patrol. They have to have a police officer in charge, and they could direct them, say, we need support in this. A defense force officer cannot say, hey, we are working by ourselves independent of the police force, and we are doing police work.
No.
It doesn't work like that.
That's not to say they doing police work. They doing Defense Force work.
And what it is? You can't be patrolling and arresting people and you're a Defense Force officer.
That's police work.
You do Defense Force work, which would be either manning a station or some kind of military operation.
We have to explore that. I like, well, I'm not saying I'm having feelings about it, but that space that you just opened up requires deep interrogation.
I just kind of...
Because I don't think... Because I'm not saying that calling. Defense Force are doing... are policing, right? Are assuming the powers of the police. But I don't think that means that there are no functions that the Defense Force legitimately carry out on land, on terror.
I believe a police officer can lock up a Defense Force officer, but a Defense Force officer cannot arrest on land a police
citizen's
officer.
Citizen's arrest? I mean, I think it's possible.
And the police can arrest him up and say, you're doing your citizen, I'm doing a police arrest. We're arresting you.
I mean, that's called a mockery, and I've seen it once or twice in the police force.
It's just odd.
It's like a play.
But I'm just saying, if the Defense Force came without their fire truck, I'm not sure if the Defense Force has a fire truck, and they came without their fire truck and said, yeah, we are here to help out this fire, but we will assume your role. I think that's problematic.
I don't think that's what happened, though.
What did happen?
Okay, first of all, I don't think that the Defense Force just their assistance was rendered. That somebody formally requested.
Yeah, I think there's a politician called them and said, you all come.
No.
I don't think the commander, the commissioner of police said, hey, I need support.
So that's separate. That's separate from what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, I think through the formal channels.
That means the commissioner of police
reached out and said
to the commodore,
"Listen, we are concerned." I don't even think let's not even put overwhelmed there. Let's not import that because if I import it, it may be a personal feeling.
Yeah.
That the assets at risk are too great
for the entire police force.
For the fire service. See, remember, this is the point I'm making. Not all police officers are fire service officers.
How many fire service officers are in the Defense Force of the department? Should be four?
They should have more than that. This is what I'm saying.
They should have more?
Pause, because my position is premised on this belief. It's just a belief that the basic training that the Defense Force officers get better prepares them to step up in fire services than the basic training that the Royal Bahamas Police Force gets. But there's another intersection. What about the National Youth Guard? What about the...
Have you seen the National Youth Guard being employed in anything recently? I mean, we have them existing. I just, like, the fire in Grand Bahama, did you hear that we have employed the National Youth Guard to come to assist? Defense Force went.
So, because here's the thing, when they announced the National Youth Guard, when they say they initiated, when the program began, that these young people would be trained to be able to assist and provide certain roles during natural disasters. Now, we all presume they mean hurricane.
Yeah.
And flooding, big flooding. And surely that also included basic fire services training,
yeah,
which would be more than, I presume, the average police officer receives.
Hmm.
Now, the utopia within me, the eternal optimist, assumes that every Royal Bahamas Police Force officer gets basic fire services training.
Like how you're assuming that every Defense Force officer has basic fire.
Because of the nature of what the Defense Force does.
Hmm.
So that's not the pragmatic, that's more pragmatic. The utopia in me says both Defense Force officers and Royal Bahamas Police Force officers, as a part of their basic training, all get fire services training. All should be certified. And see, for me, the next step is that on a yearly or with bi-yearly, every 2 years, there's a recertification training program, and that every officer over the course of 2 years is going to have to take this recertification. That's what I think happens in a real country. But I'm not sure if this is a real country. Okay, let's get to the text line, and then, Mr. Nuri, I want to ask you something. And put your phone down. Don't call your lawyer. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you something. Here's a text. But hold on now, Aaron. I had to check to make sure that's the person I thought it was. You mean someone fool enough to say we should give our little slave labor crumbs to a rich person who owns a company in a multi-million dollar industry with moratorium barring others, thus ensuring he'll always be rich? ? Please tell me I didn't listen properly or I slow, because I can't take much more of these clown world antics. Just a private citizen, I presume, made a video, reaching out to the Bahamian people to suggest that we should assist the person who's always assisting us. Mr. Nuri, somebody say your volume is very low and they're very interested in what you say and they like what you say. Southwest Highway, that's a good one, but I checked just in case it's us. It is. The highway is actually slightly more north than south and it flows east to west. So, yeah, I mean, my whole life I know that it's the East-West Highway and my whole life I'm wondering if they were actually going to give it a name other than the direction that it generally flows in. Morning, Aaron and Yuri. What does the PM mean by police entrapment by the New York police? We're going to get into that article in a moment. Good morning, Aaron. And the National Youth Guard is an arm of the RBDF. It's like a training arm of the RBDF Defense Force. So you're saying that...
Really?
So like the RBDF Rangers, your participation in the National Youth Guard could be a pathway to the Royal Bahamas Defense Force.
I did not know that.
Interesting. Thank you.
Well, so there's a Rangers and now the National Youth Arm. So they have two different youth arms.
I think so. I mean, when they announced and when they talk about the National Youth Guard, I've never heard or seen anyone reference that it will replace the Defense Force Rangers. But I think the Rangers are for people who are pretty much committed to go into the Defense Force, and the National Youth Guard may just be a potential path.
Yeah, it's like police cadets.
Yeah.
You know, and nurses cadets. If you're interested in that, you get some kind of formal training.
Yeah. Now, that's not to say that we just sitting here like old men prepared to throw young people to war and put young people on the front line of every disaster. It's just a question about what we should have expect to see, right, when these things happen. And like I said, I don't want to use the word overwhelmed that they would have called in. I think it's just a smart move considering the number of assets at risk.
I thought it was a small fire. And when I say small fire, right?
Easily contained?
Easily contained. Even at 12 buildings on fire, where we say, okay, this whole place is at risk, right? I immediately do not see the need to call the Defense Force officers. I'm not saying that it wasn't. I didn't easily see the need. I would assume you would call all of your firefighting resources.
Say, which hey, they did already. I think they did already.
How many trucks showed up?
The Commissioner of Police said that there were... So this is, I think, just after 2 p.m. yesterday.
Okay.
Quote, at present, four units are on scene along with a team of officers
from the airport. And is it that we only have four units?
Well, see, now...
If you call in the Defense Force officers, one would assume you exhausted all of your units.
I haven't delved into the Tribune article yet, but what concerns me is a lack of information. This would have been the perfect time to tell us how many assets you have, what they are, and how many are being deployed for this particular incident.
Do you notice that they called the airport also?
Yeah.
So there's four units they came with their teams, four units?
That's all. And one burn up.
God forbid.
Suppose, one need to go in the hospital.
Suppose one hotel, God forbid, I don't like saying it loud, right? Suppose one 3-4-story building, we ain't call it a hotel, caught fire and it couldn't get contained and we have to call all four of the units. All four of the units.
I put in money on it that Daryl Middle will resurrect himself. If that happens, sir. It's because here's the next thing, right? Have you heard anybody mention fire inspectors? The people who routinely and regularly inspect buildings, businesses, and communities to ensure that they are following all relevant protocols and that they have not created a space that is a risk, is a fire risk or a fire hazard.
Let me beat you. Fire suppressant. That's the water sprinklers type thing, the door closing, whatever it is. Let's consider Princess Margaret Hospital, most important hospital we have in the Bahamas. Can you say right now they are fire suppressants in Princess Margaret Hospital? I'm not even saying all government buildings, because I'm sure not all government buildings, not even the ones that was at threat.
I imagine.
And danger.
The newer parts of the hospital?
You imagine that?
No, because what I'm saying is when I was in the newer part of the hospital, I was getting ready to go into surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking all kinds of food. They're putting the gas on me and everything. Yeah. But I imagine that in the newer parts of the hospital.
The offices?
No, the critical care unit where they go take you to surgery and theater and all of them.
Mm-hmm.
That they have fire suppressant systems in there.
Mm-hmm.
the older parts of the hospital,
mm-hmm.
not so much. I'm so glad you said that, Mr. Are you ready to transition yet? Because we could get back to it. Text us, call us. Please feel free to continue that conversation. There's a quick question, quick text. The RBDF Rangers is the mentoring or cadet program for the RBDF. Yeah, same thing as you said. So I got this article here, Mr. Nuri Darvill, too many Bahamians dying prematurely from poor lifestyle choices. But that's not that's in yesterday's paper. The article I'm actually looking for, Mr. Nuri, is the one where the minister says that they got $75 million allocated for hospital work.
If I tell you I don't believe it, you will say I'm prejudging or being judgmental of the minister?
Possibly. I'm prone to saying things like that.
And if I don't believe it, and if it pans out not to be true, I say the minister needs to resign. I go to that on limbs. He promises a lot of things. $75 million, okay. Not for the renovation of the whole hospital, no.
Forgive me.
For a specific area. Anyone would like to know, was that budgeted already?
Let me reference a private conversation I was a part of. I don't think there is a line item in the existing budget. I think we're going to see it in the upcoming budget, possibly.
So wait. He is not talking about something that is budgeted already, but a plan.
Like
I plan to bring it up.
That's a private conversation, and maybe in the break I could show you the document that was shared.
So there's no $75 million budgeted.
Let's read the article.
And then you tell me what the article suggested.
Yeah, let's read the article. Now, this whole conversation, I think, was prompted by a Facebook post by Keva Kemp, a concerned parent who had to, whose child was, what they call it when you admitted into the children's ward recently. Here's the article. Darvill, $75 million allocated to upgrade PMH legacy and children's wards. Nassau Tribune, 11th of April. The Davis administration plans to allocate.
But has not allocated it as yet.
I plan to end my life to crime, but I have not done so yet.
So he preempted any allocation.
The Davis administration plans to allocate $75 million in the midterm budget for major renovations at Princess Margaret Hospital's legacy ward, included much needed upgrades to the children's ward.
Wasn't that a midterm budget that's gone already? What budget just gone?
It had to have been the midterm, eh?
So he plans to allocate, but he did not allocate it in the midterm budget. So it's the next midterm budget. Not this one. So that's after the election? Or before? Anyway.
No, they do a midterm budget every year.
Yeah, but that's next year.
Yeah. What?
Next year's election? Next year's only election?
2026?
Yeah. You see why he's saying, I ain't know if I actually believe him?
According to Health and Wellness Minister Dr. Michael Darvill. Dr. Darvill made the revelation amid public concerns about the conditions of PMH's pediatric units. A parent recently complained that the children's ward lacked air conditioning and hot water. The public hospital's authority later confirmed that repairs are underway to address the issue. On Friday, Dr. Darvill acknowledged the long-standing infrastructure issues, noting that the PHA, which manages PMH's daily operations, has been actively discussing the challenges across the facility, particularly in the legacy wing, which spans multiple floors. By legacy, I think they mean old.
Old.
And I think they should use the word old.
Instead of legacy.
Yeah.
Because legacy sounds like something good.
It sounds like political rhetoric.
Hmm. The legacy wing.
The old parts.
Mm-hmm.
The parts with... Say that. In fact, let's replace... Anytime you see the word legacy, put the parts with the mold.
Yeah.
Because that will compel greater action.
The parts without hot water and AC.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Listen, let me just say good morning to all the nurses and staff at PHA and PHA and PMH. Doctors, nurses, technical technicians, technical staff as well. We understand. Producer, let's go to the phone line. I'm sorry to keep you waiting. Caller, good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. Poppy, how y'all doing?
Blessings. Good.
Okay, Ms. Green. Yeah. Tell me something. You know the doctors, the people who were striking the other day,
to get straight with the Prime Minister, for me to have that rally and say he's ready to deal with them, to pay them? You hear anything back if they straight yet?
No, I have not seen any confirmation that they were satisfied with their most recent communications with the Prime Minister or that any resolution had been achieved.
That's how I'm saying it, yes, how you're saying it.
Yes, sir.
Satisfied. You think we should expect something from them to say something, knowing they came to us and said it was a problem between them and the government? You think one of the sides, if not the government, maybe not the government, but you don't think they should have said something?
Okay, let me share a secret with you, because I really appreciate what your question, because guess what? You realize that we just had this big sort of foreign policy exercise. We're still going through it with the U.S. and their Cuban visa restriction policy expansion.
Yes, ma'am.
So I would have expected a local conversation with local actors agitating, right, on the issues that they have on the table.
In the face
of this other conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will say this. That's what they called it, but we recognize Cuba's medical brigade as a policy. So here's what I'm trying to say. It's possible that we could speculate just for half a second that
satisfy the doctor.
Because the absence of conversation, because if I were one of the people advocating on behalf of the doctors, I would have told them right now is the time to have the conversation. Well,
you know something, I just wanted to say, like what you say, the lady, Miss Camp, was saying in the papers,
mm-hmm.
for the child,
mm-hmm.
you know, was sickening. Different from me, tired of, like this minister of, what's his name, health? It's like he fixes his mouth to say anything or it. I like him as a human being. I think he's decent, he's friendly and sociable and everything. But as a minister, it's like he's talk foolishness to us. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like because he's a minister or politician and he have a doctor degree, he could talk any kind of craziness. You know what is sad? All of us, even me, I don't know, I can't point at no one. We get air conditioning in our house. We get hot water. Some of us get, what you call it? Air conditioned system or something.
Mm-hmm. Central air.
Hot water. I talk about hot water, air conditioning. My God, man. Listen, what doctor, all the prime minister, doctor, minister, minister, health, and everybody would be paying them just the people money. Why we can't take the people money and make sure they, when the poor people go to the hospital, at least they get hot water and air conditioning. From the time people being complaining and they being saying they have an air conditioning, bro, you're telling me no one could go to any one of these shops over here would get air conditioning, sell air conditioning, ductless system to put something in there? That's so sickening. It's like they don't really care about us, you know. They just be faking like they care about us. They getting their check every week and the poor people suffering. And it's enough money to do everything
for
everybody, especially when it comes down to like hospital wise, like health wise.
I got you, Papa.
Condition hot water?
I got you, Papa.
Keep up the good work, Miss Green.
Thank you. Let me just reiterate what I was saying to Papa that Cuba visa policy would have been the perfect time to bring our issues as doctors, healthcare workers, to the public, to the fore, to compel state actors to engage in the conversation. Okay, so let's get back to the article. We were reading a quote from Dr. Darvill. He acknowledged longstanding infrastructural issues, noting that the PHA, which manages PMH's daily operations, has been actively discussing the challenges across the facility.
I have a problem with that.
That's insulting.
It's insulting.
That's their job. I don't know why are you telling me that? That's what they're supposed to be doing 24/7.
Apparently talking is work. But see, the issue with the Bohemians have is not that there are faults or issues in the Princess Margaret Hospital. You know.
Mm-hmm.
The issue we have is there has been no progress.
Yeah.
You can say, well, the air conditioning is not working today.
Mm-hmm.
But 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, you can't tell me the air conditioning is not working.
Our ambulance conversation captured stories from just for 10 years, 2015 to 2025. And nowhere within any of those articles, nowhere online when I search how many ambulances does the public health authority manage? Nowhere. I can't find any information indicating clearly
that we've reached
pellucidly clear how many ambulances we have.
Yeah. Or do not have. Or need.
Or think we have and don't have. Yeah. Nothing. I just want to go back, if you don't mind, to the article, the quote from Dr. Darvill. Quote, last year we did renovations on the structural problems associated with the legacy unit, which now will be modified into a dialysis unit. So what's the legacy unit? Because early in the article, you tell us that legacy means several floors. It's not just one unit. It's several floors of a part of the hospital. Okay, we're going to continue. The legacy unit, which now will be modified into a dialysis unit. And then on the second floor, you have the eye ward.
Any timeline?
No, not yet. I don't think so. And the eye theaters, which will also go to repairs. And on the third floor is where you have the pediatric ward, close quotes, he told reporters. Quote, the Bahamian people could rest assured that in this midterm, coming to you right now, caller, in this midterm budget, funding has been allocated in the $75 million. Here we go. Quote, the Bahamian people could rest assured that in this midterm budget,
I would assume the one gone by,
funding has been allocated in the $75 million that will go towards the renovations of the legacy ward and address these long-term legacy issues that existed with the pediatric ward.
See, specific.
Okay, see, so we've referenced legacy wing,
mm-hmm.
We've referenced legacy unit,
mm-hmm.
And we've referenced legacy ward, mm-hmm. without any clear indication of what that describes.
The differences between them.
Let's go
And plus, you notice that he identified one specific area that is going to get the $75 million.
Well, that's what between the wing, the unit, and the ward.
Because you mentioned pediatric will get the money.
Let's go to the phone line for a second. Let me let the words filter down in my brain. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nui.
Morning, sir.
I'd like to make three quick points that I think needs to be hashed out. The thing is, as it relates to the Princess Margaret Hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's read and know about the story of the royal family, you know that Princess Margaret is the most inglorious out of the family, right? And socially, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's no secret, all right? Now, maybe we should name it Princess Diana. I mean, because they might pay more attention there. That's just a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Start off with it. You understand what I'm saying? Because as it relates to the minister saying, you're getting a different narrative from the employees and the minister, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that, Aaron?
Yep, in the ambulance story.
So there's an illusion or some. I just don't get it, but I didn't want to dwell on that because it's just to be clear what they think about us. And so then there's another thing that bothered me this morning. I heard on Dwight's show, there's a lady on, she was disclosing some information. I think she's in charge of some employment agency or whatever, you know what I mean? And they were saying the graduation rate is 50%, right, Aaron?
Yes.
Now, I don't know. That is quite shocking for me, for a man who born in 64 and graduated in 82, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I graduated, everyone graduated in the class at St. John's. I went to government school and private school, so it doesn't matter to me. Now, I want to juxtapose some common sense here with these farce of a narrative that's being passed down on the Bahamian people. Firstly, you say that the Haitian migrants, their children who graduate and all them smart, right? But what I'm saying is we can quantify, right, the lie. Now, if we have been receiving more migrants from then, and then there's a 50% dropout rate, and I live in the inner city, and you can tell me plenty of them Haitian Bahamian migrants that are not graduating and causing, I live in the inner city. So what I'm saying is we are all lying to ourselves. About 50% are graduating and not graduating is very unacceptable. So my position is, as a citizen, she said that not everybody's going to be academically inclined. To me, I mean, that may be so, but that's BS for me because why? Everybody's brains are the same size. And what I'm saying is the ministry have known this for decades. Aaron, you and I have hashed this out on the radio for almost a decade now. So what I'm saying is why is it that they have not implemented measures coming in from callers like me and others? Like I said, what is the mitigation?
I can tell you why 52, because they don't have to. However, if we form a civil society organization and present this information in a policy-ready form, I think we'd get better traction. But not just present it to them, present it to the people.
Yeah, but Aaron, I said, like, all right, let's say the teachers. They're saying that, you know, I mean, I guess the government put their money where the mouth is when it comes to these doctors and these teachers. Because for me, when you're not doing that, you're blatantly sending me a message that you don't care.
Oh, you get the message, right?
Yeah, hold on, Aaron.
But look, okay, here's what I'm saying. I get what you're saying, and I think the public gets what you're saying, right? The next step for me now is to talk about solutions and the way forward. Otherwise, I can get frustrated as well and caught up in that energy. Because I know the way forward. The way forward is that we have to organize ourselves. They organize.
Yeah, but Aaron, I have to have some. What I'm saying is...
No, I don't have the time. I got 15 minutes. I ain't gone to my break yet. And I still want to know what the Prime Minister talking about.
But I won't make a joke with that, too. Let me say, they're being entrapped by the education system and the highs of fried food, so they have to do nefarious acts. I mean, has the Sonny Miller case been adjudicated yet? Everything cool, you know. Everything cool, Aaron. This country in a mess. Hey.
Every day we're trying to make sense of it and provide solutions for the Bahamian people, if not to fix the Bahamas to be able to better navigate the world before them on a daily basis. Producer, let's take this next call, and then we're going to go to a break, and then we're going to transition. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, madam, and pleasant day to you and your co-host there.
Good day, sir. Good day.
Good day, good day. First of all, I want to say, regarding the fire, I'm saddened that the fire did occur. Hoping and requesting that as a regular program, week after week, day after day,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps if you can get some policymakers and officials, etc., to speak as to the needs and the shortages and the inventory, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
Now, regarding the fire, I had promised the workers there at Solomon's and Coast Right. When I went there early in the year and realized that they do not have any sitting accommodation as they do their work.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that labor laws, provision is made for best practices.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it there as an international body. Some countries subscribe to it and some countries do not. And so I'm hoping that year after year we have ministers of labor and so on and so forth,
mm-hmm.
that we will seek to see that our employees are treated humanely, and they have. For example, another point: if there are no customer for an eight-hour service, that's just a hypothetical case.
Mm-hmm.
That cashier is still required to stand,
yeah.
Not even to rest the bottom on a stool, with the legs resting on the floor.
Yes.
And it happens there and elsewhere, and I'm hoping that when the place is recovered and all of that. That kind of concession or provision is made. I made some inquiry, and I understand who is supposed to be dealing with it. The head office is somewhere on University Boulevard. Because I was busy with other things, I did not follow up because I promised the employees there, customer service, cashier, security, and all that,
mm-hmm.
that something will be done. I haven't contacted the Ministry of Labor to see what is available. And also, the business, you know, the consumer, what do you call it? There is a body that deal with private sector, so that they all together, not necessarily government, but the law, people will be humane.
Mm-hmm. Be treated humanely.
I
wouldn't
have a business and have to be standing all day.
Mm-hmm.
So why must my worker be standing all day? It happened at all ways, where they sell the parties, elsewhere, and so
because
on.
Because this is a plantation, sir. And
please,
why you
please,
think
please.
I have a business? I have a business, so I don't have to do the things I go make other people do.
Merciful Percy.
Yes, sir.
Please. Those are some things, some concerns, you know, that
we must attend to.
Yes, thank you, please.
Absolutely. I used to live in England for a little while. I don't even call it living because I went to school. I went to school in England for a little while. And then I had to come back. I say it's unfortunate that I went to school in England because then I had to come back here to a plantation living after that. As a student, right, like in my computer, when I did my A-level in computer science, one of the things we learned is the European Union's protocol for office workers and computer use. Every 20 to 30 minutes, you take a break. You get to stand. It's ergonomics for your body. You need to rest your wrist, right? And you come back here and to realize that we're still perfectly fine with treating people like slaves on a plantation. We're fine with it. We accept it, and then we tell people, if you don't want to be treated like that, then you need to be the boss so you could treat other people like that. All right, I have a text here just before we transition, producer. I don't know if you want to take us to a break. Here's the text. The funds, and I think they're referring to the $75 million referenced by Dr. Darville. The funds are scheduled for the substantive budget, that's the main budget, which is scheduled to be introduced, debated, and passed by June 30th to take effect from July 1st, 2025, and ends June 30th, 2026. Now, see, here's the thing, Yuri. Just as we go to the break, producer, you cut me when you cut me, because I'll pick it up on the other side. The election date changed. Did the budget date and the mid-year budget date change to align with the election year? Isn't the mid-year budget schedule...
Let's take a break.
We just had the mid-year budget.
There's another budget
coming up June 30th?
Yeah, that's what he meant. Not the one we're going. He meant the one coming up. 75 million.
Yeah, we're not worried about Davil. I just say inflation.
Yeah.
It aligns everything that Davil technically saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean the next budget. So we look forward for the $75 million.
When we get back from the break, I got to ask, why do you have a mid-year budget and the budget so close together? Mm-hmm. Anyway, you're on the clock with Aaron Green. We're coming right back. Grab your Guardian. Pick it up right now. Have it in your hand for when the conversation resumes.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bala Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bala hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away, just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Hey. You see Paradise Games out of new casino?
What you mean new casino? You mean like new games?
Yes, babe. Brand new games. You ain't never see these yet. Check this. It right under casino.
Oh, casino tree. But he's a hottie.
I showing you. Paradise come up with all kind of games.
Man, I need to go slap something on my account, man.
I might as well top up one time.
Run! Paradise Games, where every spin is a chance to win.
Paradise Games reminds you to please game responsibly.
Here's a price list of some of the roofing material we carry at Pinda Enterprises. 5/8 pressure treated roofing ply starting at $36.68. Gray Select Water Shield, $134.20 a roll. Felt, £15, $16.50, £30, $19.80. Owens, Corning Duration Shingles, and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of roof cement, $33.47. All sizes treated dimensional lumber. And of course, we have all nails and all screws. We have 5/8 sheetrock, $28.76, 1/2 inch sheetrock, $12.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back. Welcome back. On the clock with Aaron Green. Here is a couple of texts. First one, Aaron, you a lawyer, right? Wrong. Incorrect. Absolutely incorrect. I am not a lawyer. I just watched 1,875,000 hours of Law and Order. NCIS, you remember JAG? Remember JAG? Military in the Navy? Is it the Navy? Or the Air Force? I think it's the Navy. Anyway. And Murder, She Wrote, Matlock, Columbo, with the boy Aaron Burr, I Inside. That's all. Oh, and yes, Minister, and yes, Prime Minister. You too could get a legal education from watching all of them things. But I am N-O-T. What did Minister say? Long live the chief. N-P-O. I'm not a lawyer. Let's continue the text. Can you please explain how that moratorium was even allowed to happen legally? Because I never understood that. You mean the moratorium on web shops? It's able to happen because we are gullible and susceptible. But here's what the problem is, right? I'm not blaming the gullible and susceptible people. Everything ties in. I'm going to transition quickly, and hopefully Mr. Newry will take up this topic in his hour. we gullible and susceptible. I tell you, I think that 25% of us right now just waiting for another quick lick. A square grouper. Ability to be king. It's become a part of our culture. Right? It's deep. And it's not just that it's become a part of our culture. It is the natural, like, culture of this geographic space. Things is flow through and things is flow out, and we pick them up and sometimes we break them up and then pick them up. Like, that's who we have been for hundreds and hundreds of years. So it's not fair to just say to some people who keep getting caught up in these loom and keep letting people create an alliance, swing them and things like that, that they just foolish. It's a part of our culture, but we are not preparing our people to navigate the actual world that they live in. Okay, I always was bothered with the employees not being able to sit at work. It's just wrong. It makes no sense. And not even making a livable wage. Same with fast food chains. Why are they standing outside on the drive-through now? Because I will say that the unions, some of them are in collusion with the state, some wittingly and some unwittingly. Why even have the drive-through if you're going to do everything manually? The person say, I hope you watch SVU too. Unfortunately, the vast majority of women in the country have had to watch SVU for their personal safety. Okay, here's the headline. It appears officers were entrapped. PM shifts tone on U.S. indictment. Mr. Newry, I went online and I say, let me search a definition of entrapped, because I don't know. I just wanted to check before I started thinking about what the Prime Minister may have been thinking about when he was thinking about
read the headline
what
again.
To say. Quote.
Again.
Quote.
No.
It
appears.
Appears.
So what would make it appear that way? What did the Prime Minister see? Who informed the Prime Minister? What has the Prime Minister been investigating? Is the Prime Minister the lawyer? Is the lawyer communicating with the Prime Minister to say, hey, I get some evidence, by the way? And it appears, which caused the Prime Minister to now quote. What the quote is?
The quote on the front of the Guardian paper, quote, it appears officers were entrapped, close quotes. So I went online yesterday and I said, Google, tell me what entrapped means. And Google gave me an AI overview pulling information from several sources. It says, yes, an officer of the court or a police officer can be entrapped. I said, can a police officer be entrapped? Yes, an officer of the court or a police officer can be entrapped. Entrapment is a legal defense that occurs when a person is induced or tricked into committing a crime by a government official, such as a police officer, not a private individual. The defense has two elements.
Who has the defense? Defense. So who should be defending? Who should be bringing up the word entrapment?
The person who's before the courts.
The defense. So when you have someone else defending, clearly they are part of the...
Now, we don't know if he was defending. He was just uttering. Know. Hold on. He was just uttering.
It appears.
But there's still just...
It appears.
Hold on. I know.
How did he get that to that conclusion?
What I'm saying is... It's
where did he get that from?
It's still an utterance. The same.
Give him that information.
The same way he came outside the building on that Saturday afternoon and said, oh, no, I shouldn't speak to what the police doing. But I heard the woman recanted a statement. I'm just saying it's an utterance.
Our prime minister liked to utter. It appears.
He liked to hum and he liked to utter. Both of them sometimes sound the same.
Some information he got.
Producer, you ain't play. Why you don't play the music?
No. Until you play the music.
The defense has two elements. Maybe Mr. Newry will take calls.
I have guests.
I understand. Sorry, my bad. The defense has two elements. Government inducement of the crime.
Mm-hmm.
And the defendant's lack of predisposition to engage in the criminal conduct.
Mm.
So my mommy may say, officer, she entrapped me.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter weighed $5,000 around the house and she ain't got no children. She knows I could take the money. And I'm going to say, nah, my mommy, stay taking my money.
My question is,
it's not entrapment.
Should a leader of a nation be declaring that someone accused for drug crime was entrapped?
Man, listen, if we were not talking about important things like hospital care and fire services and people and things burning down, and to say thank you, and we appreciate you, we recognize you, fire services, police officers that attended the fire, defense force officers, Kapai Shaw Solomon's workers who was fighting the fire and saving each other when they could.
Guardian Radio 96.9.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.